Hello, everyone. Welcome to once-in-a-lifetime episode of Learn by Teaching for the class of Poll 3177, Social Movements and Globalization. I'm your host, Karim Sack.
And I'm your co-host, Charlie Palmer. And we're both currently undergraduate students at the University of Ottawa. I'm a fourth-year political science student ready to graduate very soon.
And I'm a third-year political science and a communications student who's not ready to graduate just yet. So today we're taking you on a journey to better understand social movements theory and giving an in-depth analysis of how the globalization of social media has impacted the ways in which social movements operate. More specifically, we will be exploring some useful social media tactics and strategies that you can use to gain more media attention, globalize your movement, and gain more support.
Awesome. So with our outline complete, I'm going to ask Karim a very complex question. What do you know about social movements?
Well, I've been taking a class about this topic for a few months now, but there's nothing wrong with refreshing my memory. Would you like to help me?
I'd be happy to. Social movements can be defined as organized informal networks made up of various actors such as individuals, communities, or organizations which all share a common goal of producing social change. So this social change can be political or cultural in nature and can take on many forms. Social movements are typically organized internationally and obtain recognition and support on a more global scale in contrast to protests. Some examples of prominent social movements in our environment today include Indigenous rights movement, Black Lives Matter, feminist movement, or even Mothers Against Drunk Driving. All these social movements have different end goals, therefore they cannot necessarily be grouped together into one unitary category. Later on in this podcast, we'll be using the body positivity movement, focusing directly on reform movements, to address certain media strategies that can be used to push your campaign forward. Before handing it off to Karim, I think it would be useful to explain what a political opportunity is and how it works. As discussed in class, political opportunities are dimensions of the political environment or of change in that environment that provides incentives for collective action by affecting expectations for success or failure. In other words, social movement activists must look for political opportunities or openings that can provide them with the opportunity to produce meaningful change. Sometimes these opportunities are not visible to all. So how exactly can we as activists spot a political opportunity? Well, first we need to see the relative openness or closure of the institutionalized political system. It may be easier to obtain political opportunities when the political system is more open. Second, we need to measure the stability or instability of the broad set of elite alignments that typically undergird a polity. Third, we need to weigh how opportunity is affected by the presence or absence of elite allies. In other words, can elite allies help you seize a political opportunity, or will elite allies suppress your political opportunity? And finally, you must look for the state's capacity and propensity for repression. Therefore, the way the state is formed, its regime, government, institutions, and social construction will affect your political opportunities to achieving your goals. All these factors are important to consider when thinking about starting a social movement. Look for your political openings and strategize ways in which you can achieve your goals.
Charlie, do you know anything about globalization's impact on social movements and its unique history?
So I'm familiar with the concept of globalization, but I'm actually intrigued in what you're trying to say. So I'd like you to tell me some more.
Sure. Well, let's start with globalization first. According to the Oxford Dictionary, globalization, in a general sense, is the increasing worldwide integration of economic, cultural, political, religious, and social systems in our society. Makes sense, right? As technology evolves, the system that connects us to people, to each other, and also evolves, making it possible to reach thousands of people just in seconds. Furthermore, it also helps people to share and interact with other cultures. For this episode, we're mostly going to focus on the social relationships and the social structures that are established by globalization and how it changed the social media movements. There are two concepts I would like to introduce. First is the globalization from above, and then the second being globalization from below. As the name suggests, the concepts can be easy to understand. According to a source, the globalization from above can be explained as a process that is created and controlled by centralized and powerful actors such as wealthy elites, multinational corporations, and imposing on broader society. Meanwhile, the globalization from below focuses on the marginalized groups and social movements that struggle to make the globalization benefit for more people and for global processes to be more democratic. For this episode, I'm mostly going to be focusing on globalization from below as its purpose to create share and awareness. In our modern society, the technological evolutions and the integration of the internet and its devices has become a really important tool for activists and social movements around the world. According to a source, one of the most important uses of the internet and social media for social movements is to link various movements and networks together to coordinate activities and help activists to develop a collective identity. This enables users to use the quick and efficient internet to spread information and mobilize action. Before jumping into the current and modern adaptation of globalization, we feel that it is important to understand how social movements operated when social media platforms such as Twitter first started to pop up. The term Twitter Revolution, according to one source, originated amidst mass protests in Moldova in 2009 and was popularized through the subsequent wave of popular uprisings in North Africa and the Middle East. It refers not only to the use of Twitter on computers and mobile devices, but also the broader use of social media in social movements. In 2009, another big event that took place was in Iran. After the government re-election, the public reaction caused the governments to shut down traditional media outlets, causing people to shift towards online and anonymous platforms such as Twitter. The role of social media continued to grow as years went by. Starting in 2010, people started to use Facebook groups to organize mass protests and connect with each other. And as for other platforms start to pop up, new ways of movements and protests start to take place. Now, let's move forward and talk about some tactics that social movements activists can use to better represent their movement, to reach more people and to create social change. However, first we will need to define exactly what a social movement media tactic is. Media tactics are used in social movement theory to help the movement reach a larger audience that will in turn have a lasting impact. Another important detail to remember about social movements is that they need to produce long-lasting change. Therefore, media tactics such as identity correction, spoof websites, hashtag hijacks, hashtag campaigns, app flooding, and media jacking are useful tools to push forward the agenda and the goals of the social movement and reach larger populations of people.
So the first media tactic that you can use to further your social movement, goals, and agenda is identity correction. Identity correction, as defined by beautifultrouble.org, is the exposing of an entity's inner workings to public scrutiny. When using this tactic, your movement will be trying to catch the entity or organization or even institution off guard by impersonating them or speaking on their behalf about the wonderful things that they should do. In reality, however, this company will likely never do these things, which momentarily exposes them to public scrutiny. To execute this properly, you first need to know what you're looking to change. Let's say, for example, you're creating a social movement that supports local farmers instead of slaughterhouses. You choose to identity correct a big multinational corporation like McDonald's and assume their power by pretending to be them. Once you have this all figured out, you can propose a public statement that is either negative or positive, coming from the fake McDonald's. A positive statement, called an honest proposal, typically works better. So your movement could release a statement that McDonald's will now be supporting local farmers by not buying meat from slaughterhouses. This statement would be something that McDonald's would never say. If McDonald refutes this comment, they will look very bad because the banning of slaughterhouses is a socially accepted idea. And if they acknowledge their faults and do nothing to fix it, it will also look bad for the company. If McDonald's decides to change their meat distributor, then this tactic will work to promote your platform. So ultimately, this media tactic will increase engagement for your platform and take away the pressure of fighting against big corporations by just simply assuming their identity. Another media tactic that is a spin-off of identity correction is spoof websites. This tactic involves creating near-identical websites to those of our targets, but altering them to illustrate our target taking a certain action, such as announcing a new initiative that supports our campaign goals. So this spoof website will be portrayed as an authentic website, essentially impersonating the original website by using a similar name and web design, often with a press release coming from the target or with the support of spoofed news coverage. The idea is that this website will spread very quickly, become viral for a certain period of time, and obtain major news coverage, getting attraction and support for your movement. An important part of this tactic, though, is the reveal. The reveal must happen before the website you are impersonating finds out. Typically, you will publish a reveal press release that takes credit for the spoof website and ties it into the larger campaign message. Again, it is much more effective to use a positive approach for this media tactic to work effectively. This tactic is also a way in which prefigurative politics performs. Prefigurative politics argues that it is more effective to show the world how easy it would be for the company to do what you want them to do and how much public support they would get for it, rather than pressuring your obstinate target into taking positive action. Pressure alone is not always going to produce change with these big companies, so this tactic can be used as a way to create that alternative reality by rewriting the story and getting the public to believe, at least for just one moment, that it's real.
I actually have a similar tactic to yours, which is hashtag hijack. As the name suggests, it's a hijacking an existing hashtag. As you may know, hashtags can be used to categorize posts on social media platforms, and also the trending topics of the day or the week is also being shown on some platforms such as hashtags. For example, both Twitter and TikTok has their explore page focusing on the current trending topics, while platforms like Instagram is a lot more personalized to your liking and showcases content that you might be interested in. In case of hashtag hijack, it is basically exploitation of an existing hashtag's popularity and taking it to a different direction to promote a cause. For this tactic to work, people should keep in mind that the numbers do matter. The hashtag already needs to have an attraction and should be quite visible in the feed algorithm. Therefore, when a hashtag hijack happens, people can see it a lot faster. According to one user on Twitter, an example to this can be when Donald Trump told armed white supremacist group Proud Boys to stand by during a presidential debate. The alt-right took to Twitter to display their bigotry, only to be overwhelmed by LGBTQ Twitter users sharing photos of Proud Boys making out and making this hashtag about love, not hate. Actually, speaking of hashtags, let's backtrack a little bit and also talk about hashtag campaigns as well. So, as we just mentioned in hashtag hijack and how hashtags can be used to categorize posts on social media platforms, for movements and activists, the use of hashtag is to strategically frame, convene, and drive key conversations. It is also to convene and drive conversations while used also as a framing device that helps to set the terms of the debate and clarify what's at stake. A well-chosen hashtag will positively define the values associated with your political position and draw more people to your side of the debate. So, activists can create their own hashtag to promote their idea and then frame them for consumers of online media. A couple of examples can be the online movements such as MeToo movement, Black Lives Matter movement, and such.
App flooding is another media tactic that social movement activists can use to promote their platform or message. This tactic may be useful for social movements that are looking to make reformative changes to social media apps such as Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, or even Facebook. With the globalization of social media and technology, individuals now have the world at their fingertips. The ability for individuals, groups, and communities to organize globally has become easier with the globalization of smartphones. Individuals now, more than ever, look to their smartphones and apps to solve basic day-to-day problems, such as dating, finding directions, or even ordering food. App flooding, in its most simplest term, is when a social movement reappropriates popular apps as a channel for protesting. The website gives an example of Russian people flooding an app that monitored road traffic to protest their government's mishandling of the COVID-19 pandemic. This can be done on any app and allows for free speech to occur. For example, you can use TikTok as a channel to promote your cause, such as protecting children from online predators. TikTok does have certain guidelines and rules and regulations regarding this, but it is highly unregulated to an extent. Therefore, you are no longer using TikTok for its intended purpose, which is to make funny videos. You are now protesting its age requirement or whatever, its applicability and its structure.
Another tactic activists can use is the media jacking. According to a source, the media jacking is when you subvert your opponent's spectacle for your own purposes. Politicians, corporations, and lobbyists have much bigger public relations budgets and name brands to draw attract press to their staged media events. Through well-planned creative interventions, however, you can refocus things and highlight a different side of the story. This method is mostly used to someone else's prepared event, where they do have the audience or the technologies that share the event with online platforms, live or pre-planned, and take over in it, which you use your target's own story against them, undermining them at the point of assumption. This way, you can share your own perspective with others without actually planning a way to reach audiences. An example to this can be PETA activists crashing Fashion Week and walking on the runway with the signs mentioning fur shame. According to PETA, they have started using media jacking tactics since 1991. Runway shows such as Oscar de la Renta, Victoria's Secret, Valentino, Versace, Burberry, etc. has been a nice medium for them to share their message.
So can these media tactics actually be used to promote your social movement in a way that creates long-lasting changes?
Well, the simpler answer is absolutely. We will put these tactics to the test by talking a little bit about the feminist social movement, more specifically the body positivity and inclusivity as an example.
So, an offspring of the feminist movement, the body positivity movement, has become popular somewhat recently in social media discourse. The main premise of the body positivity movement is that every body is beautiful, therefore, we're celebrating bodies beyond the thin ideal. The globalization of social media has made the thin ideal ever more pressing, exposing women directly to the Western ideal of what a body should look like. This overexposure of the ideal body has demonstrated a small to medium negative impact on women's body image, producing forms of body dissatisfaction and other problems, including eating disorders.
The origins of the body positive movement stem from Black, queer, and fat activists during the civil rights movement. The movement has primarily increased prevalence and promotion of diverse bodies, including racially diverse bodies, bodies of all sizes, disabled bodies, and bodies that fight against gender stereotyping. Since the body positive movement have been driven through social media platforms, Charlie and I thought it would be interesting to discuss media tactics that this social movement have used to hold Victoria's Secret accountable for their actions.
According to ABC News, Victoria's Secret encountered major lashback in 2014 from its Perfect Body marketing campaign. Victoria's Secret released an ad campaign that pictured 10 models with the same slim body with the words, "the perfect body, perfect fit, perfect comfort, perfectly soft," above them. People protested by starting a social media uproar, including starting a petition on change.org and creating a new slogan for Victoria's Secret to better represent the average body. The new slogan read, "A Body for Everybody," encouraging a more healthy representation of body positivity. So, when doing research about this Victoria's Secret scandal, it became clear that the protesters could have used social media even more effectively by using media tactics. Although the body positivity movement ultimately made Victoria's Secret change their ad, the new campaign still depicted the same models in the image. Therefore, only adding the slogan, "A Body for Every Body," to a picture of very thin models did not truly change much.
One way people can better represent social movement is by using media tactics. As we have explained, hashtag campaigns can be used to categorize posts and a way to connect people in one direction. As the Victoria's Secret events start to unfold, people start to use their slogan hashtag perfect body to shame Victoria's Secret on media platforms. People start to sharing pictures of their bodies and took a jab at Victoria's Secret's models' unattainable body standards. As the hashtags start to trend in media platforms, people who were unhappy with the slogan decided to hijack Victoria's Secret's own hashtags to protest and share their public opinion. Looking back at Victoria's Secret's past, people have used many media tactics to explore their concerns and opinions about the brand's controversial advertisement tactics. One way the public approached to showcase their disagreement with Victoria's Secret was with the media jacking tactic. Back in 2002, PETA activists took over the runway show with a poster board that had messages against the brand and some of the models to expose their use of fur. Media jacking can also be used in this body positivity movement as well. Public can use the runway shows and media events to crash and use the already existing audience and the media tools to expand their reach for the movement and the messages they stand by.
For the body positivity movement to broaden their audience even further, they should have used other social media tactics as tools to create a larger impact on the social environment. As mentioned before, activists can use identity correction to assume the image of Victoria's Secret with their own unique ad campaign. The picture could feature diverse bodies, diverse races, and diversity outside of the able-bodied community. Overall, basically an intersectionality of different models with the slogan, a body for everybody. This puts the activists in a powerful position because they essentially put Victoria's Secret in a difficult position. By assuming their identity instead of fighting against the multinational corporation, the movement assumes the power and the dynamic shifts. If Victoria's Secret were to continue using their original models, the company looks bad. If they don't change the slogan, they look bad again. If they change one and not the other, they'll still look bad. If they change nothing, they're toast. So, since this was not exactly the case, Victoria's Secret was able to retain support for their company while only making a minor change, renaming their marketing campaign. So, a spinoff of using identity correction as a tool is using spoof websites to promote your agenda. The body positivity campaign could have very easily created a spoof website looking almost identical to the Victoria's Secret website, using the positive change framework to push their agenda. The spoof website could include new models such as LGBTQ plus models, plus size models, models of different races, and models with disabilities. This website would depict the marketing campaign with brand new models and a new slogan. Additionally, the website could be used to promote other forms of body positivity that the body positivity movement is fighting for. This would put Victoria's Secret in a tough situation, possibly encouraging the company indirectly to change for the better.
If the body positivity movement were to use the upflooding as a tactic, let's say on Twitter, releasing tweets from a spoof Victoria's Secret account about the wonderful changes they're implementing to support their new campaign, A Body for Everybody, we believe that the social movement could have had a bigger and more widespread impact. So what exactly does this mean for you and your social movement?
Well, Karim, it means one thing and one thing only. Use social media tactics to your advantage. Media tactics have the ability to globalize your social movement, allow for deeper networking to occur, and it will produce long-lasting change that your movement is striving for. To make all this information easier to grasp, we have created some steps or tips to help you in the creation of your social movement. First, you need a cause. In other terms, what are you looking to change? In this stage, you can use social media to network and form a cohesive community that is fighting for the same goal. Second, find your target. Is this a corporation, a social issue, an institution, a political entity? Third, think about where your political opportunities are and where your openings lie within the social political environment. Fourth, think about how modern social movements operate in this modern world due to globalization. And maybe there's different tactics that can be used as apart from the media tactics that we've discussed today that would push your movement forward. Fifth, think about the media tactics that would be beneficial to your social movement. Finally, use these tactics to your advantage to gain widespread support and produce a globalized movement. So we want to end this podcast by thanking our viewers for listening and joining us today. We truly hope that you've learned something new today because we definitely have. We hope that going forward in your activism, that you can employ some of these techniques we discussed today and feel confident in the endeavors that you already are or will be partaking in. Again, thank you so much for your attention and time. This is Charlie Palmer signing off.
And this is Karim Sack for signing off.